It's Thursday, the day we read from your letters, and there were many with a correction to Eric Weiner's story on preventing hooliganism at the upcoming World Cup soccer tournament.
Stephen Turner writes from Los Angeles, "Your reporter erroneously stated that 39 people were killed at a 1985 World Cup match. That is a shocking mistake. The horrific violence referred to was at a European club championship between Liverpool and an Italian team. The fact that the match was reported as having been played in 1985 should have alerted the reporter and his editor that the match could not have been a World Cup match, because the World Cup is played only every 4 years, 2002, 1998, 1994, 1990, 1986. Get the idea, Leanne?
Alan Cope in Pittsburgh had another gripe with the piece. He writes, "Your story followed the usual obsession of the American media with hooliganism at this event. My memory of the last World Cup was of fans of Norway and Brazil dancing with each other on the streets of Marseille before a game between their teams. The media never reported that, or the thousands of fans who mingled and enjoyed the tournament. At a previous World Cup in Italy, an American film crew tried to get my son to throw a brick through a window so they could get some footage. Let's hope this time you will report the fun enjoyed and maybe even the soccer."
Robert Smith's profile of campus preacher Jed Smock prompted Gavin Fritton in Overland Park, Kansas, to write, "When I listened to the story, I was immediately transported to my undergraduate years of the mid-1980s at the University of Kansas, where Brother Jed and his family were frequently ministering to the apparently godless student body. Recently, and for no apparent reason, I caught myself wondering what had happened to Smock. While your story answered the question, I fear Jed will take this as some kind of compliment and suggest that he must have had some great impact on my life. Such is not the case. I still remember clowns from the circus I attended with my parents when I was 7 years old, but I think that the impact that they made was about as strong as the one made by Smock, who personally insulted me and guaranteed that my place in hell was assured unless I did things his way."
Many other listeners also seem to have had memorable meetings with Brother Jed, among them Karen Dadoub in Cincinnati, Ohio. She writes, "Your story about Preacher Jed took me back 23 years to my days on the campus of Ohio University in Athens, Ohio, where Preacher Jed was an annual harbinger of spring. It was Preacher Jed and others like him who really made me think about what I believed and ultimately helped me make the decision to convert to Islam."
And finally, many listeners wrote to tell us that they enjoyed Marika Partridge's exploration of how the song Swimming to the Other Side achieved such popularity. Among them was David Terrell, who writes this, "Though I've been moved to the whole spectrum of emotions by past NPR stories, I had never been moved to real tears the way I was after hearing Marika Partridge's story about Swimming to the Other Side. I work in Omaha as a public defender and had just pulled into my driveway when I heard this amazing story and song. Pat Humphrey's description of how the song came to her reminded me of poets I've talked to who describe their creative processes as gifts from a muse. Thanks for the wonderful story. I plan to play the song to my kids and have it played at my funeral."
We always look forward to getting your praise and also your criticisms. Our email address is atc@npr.org. Please remember to tell us where you live and how to pronounce it, as well as how to pronounce your name.